Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Semnes Salam fam. Yes, 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 yes. Here at After the Shabbat podcast right here. And once again, the Sabbath evening psalm, you know, for the seventh day of the Shabbat evening psalm, Psalm 92 right here.
Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness, 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 no unrighteousness.
Again, Shabbat Shalom, Shabua Tov, Shabua, the Shabua. From the root Shabbat for seven, and also the word for oath concerning the 7 days to come here after the Shabbat, getting ready for a new cycle with the first day. So we say Shabua Tov, Shabua Tov. Modern Hebrew may sound like Shabua Tov, but Shabua Tov. Now, usually right here, you have like the Shabbat Zakor. The Shabbat Zakor. So we have some prepared for the Shabbat Zakor. What is the Shabbat Zakor? It's the Sabbath of Zakor. Zakor of remembrance. The Sabbath of memorial, Sabbath of remembrance. And usually it is a Sabbath that precedes the holiday, the holy time observed that's known as Purim. Purim. Purim, or the Feast of Lots, connected with the book of Esther and Hadassah. But in the Judaic, the Hebraic leap years, the holiday of Purim, of Lots, the Feast of Lots, Book of Esther, is celebrated 1 month later. So here, keeping in tune with the keeping of time, you know, and the calendar, we're in a leap year. Right. Therefore, the holiday of Purim is to be celebrated 1 month later during what is referred to as the second Adar, right? Adar 2. So in this sense, there's like 13, you know, that whole 13 months, 13 moons. So on the second of Adar through Adar 14th, although Adar 14th, 14th of the Hebrew month, that's known as Adar, is still observed during leap years as Purim Katan. Katan. Katan is like the small. Katan, like to say small. So it's a small Purim, or Purim, the small one. Lots small. Purim Katan. The little Purim. Now, the distinctions between the first, what some may refer to as the first and second Purim during leap years, it dates back to the time of what's known as the Mishnah, the study of Torah, the time of the Mishnah, right? Now, there are no prescribed rites or rituals for the Purim Katan, or the little Purim, though the Karaites, you could say the sect of Yehudi from ancient times known as the Karaites, observed it as the date, and in their perspective, the true date of and for Purim. Now, kara is interesting. Kara or kara, it means like to read. It also can mean to call out. It can also mean like to call by name, like, you know, ekra, you know, aleka, Yahuwah, I call out, right, to the I or he who be who he be. I read, I recite, I call upon him by name. So the Karaites were those, for lack of a better way of referring to it, but just to keep it kind of simple, they were more literalists in their interpretation of HaTorah. The Karaites were more like almost like according to exactly the letter of, you know, what is written right there. So therefore, they still observe this as the true date for Purim. Now, usually, if this was in a leap year, right, this would also be observed by other Yehudim, right, as a true date. But because it's not the true date according to a calendar point of reference, looking at the time and the season correctly, you know, boom, 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 boom. But others still regard it as a minor fast day. So Purim often is connected with fasting. Now, since it'll be a month later, it's still good for us to point to a couple of keys. Usually, Purim would be coming up, and this would be the Shabbat Zakat. This is referred to as the Purim Katan, and it was a smaller one because of the month or so difference, you know, looking at the time, you know, and its proper times and its proper season. But what is Purim? Just briefly, Purim is another holiday, another holy day observed by the diasporic Judahites, Judeans, and Israelites, observed for deliverance, that those faithful, even in foreign lands, were delivered from the schemes and the machinations of those who hated Israel and those who sought to, you know, they were confederate, you know, against Yisrael, in particular against the Yehudi, the Judahites from Ethiopia to Iran or Persia, as we have in the book of Esther. So Purim, Feast of Lots. So this is just to speak to the time and the season, and also in prepping for what will be observed roughly a month later. Purim, the Feast of Lots, celebrating our deliverance. Now the narrative, the story, right? It goes back to King Nebuchadnezzar, right, of Babylon, roughly 630 to 562 BC, who on account of the chronic apostasy of the Yehudim, of the Judeans, the Judahites, the chronic apostasy. Now, while we're focusing on referring to the Yehudi or the Jews or the Judahites, and someone say, well, it's Israel. Well, yes, because the Yehudi truly are Israelites, but the 10 tribes are basically out of the picture here, right, according to scripture and according to the true context of history. So we only have this particular tribe that remains, you know, that is still in the way and still representing the way. The 10 tribes are out of the picture. But even though what happened to the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, often referred to as Israel or the Israelites of the northern tribes, it didn't wake up the Yehudi, the tribe of Judah. You know, even Yahuwah through the prophet said that, you know, you would have thought that they will see what I had done to the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, and that would have encouraged them to do right. But no, there was a chronic apostasy, like a chronic disease, a chronic apostasy of the Yehudi, of the Judeans called the Jews. And therefore, Nebuchadnezzar, he became the, quote, rod of Elohim's wrath. So the foreign king, the king of Babylon, even according to the scripts, became the rod of Yahuwah's wrath by conquering the land of Yehuda, conquering the land of Judah, besieging Jerusalem, burning the Heikal of Shlomo, the Temple of Solomon, to the ground, and eventually carrying the Yehudim, the Judeans, the Judahites, or one might say the Jews, quote unquote, off to captivity. This is what is known and has become known as the Babylonian exile. Find it in the scripts in 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 to 17. That's 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 to 17, regarding what became known as the Babylonian exile, or the exile of the Judahites, the Judeans, in Babylon. Now, this is important. This is important. You know, I would say ain't nothing new under the sun. So this right here is very, very important for context. And among the Yehudi or the Yehudim, right, in plural sense, the Judeans, the Judahites, right, who were deported. They were deported or sent into exile from Yehuda, from the land of Judah to Babylon, was a young man that was named Daniel, right? Often pronounced as Daniel, but Daniel, right? The prophet who later served in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he allowed the exiled Judeans, the Yehudim, to settle among the banks of the Euphrates River, and to establish their own centers of learning and worship. So even in exile, Nebuchadnezzar, right, who the scripture first says the rod of Elohim's wrath, he had allowed the exiled Judeans to settle among the banks of the Euphrates River, and this is the key, to establish their own centers of learning and worship. So in a sense, one might say, you know, spirituality or religious freedom in that sense for the Yehudi. Now, in fact, some of the greatest Judaic Yehudi learning ever produced, right, including, I know this is a hot point for ones who have not really studied truly, you know, the Babylonian so-called Talmud or teaching, what's known as the Babli or the Bavli, would come from those who were exiled in ancient Babylon. And then those who had returned, like we have Ezra, the book of Ezra, we have the book of Nehemiah, and also in the Apocrypha, right, what's called the Apocrypha, we have Esdras. Esdras basically is an extended compendium, right, of Ezra, right? So some of the greatest learning among the Yehudi. And this may be one of the reasons why Yeshua, Rabbeinu himself, would say to a Samaritan woman that y'all, right, Samaritans pretending y'all are the 10 tribes of Israel, right, worship that which you know not. We know what we worship for salvations of the Yehudi. Now, in time, King Nebuchadnezzar, he died, and his son ruled. Now, later, his grandson, who the scripture refers and history refers to as Belshazzar, he assumed the Babylonian throne. Now, this is that King Belshazzar mentioned in Daniel chapter 5, who had threw a feast. Remember, he had a party. He had a feast. Right. And he drank from the holy vessels that were looted by his grandfather from Shlomo's Heikal, from Solomon's temple. And you remember what happened next? While he was reveling and raving, right, and praising the so-called Elohim of gold and silver, the gods of gold and silver, he and his guests, they saw a mysterious hand. They saw this hand writing a message on the wall. Message on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. What did the hand write? Mene, mene, tekel, Ufarisim. What does that mean? Chaberim. Now, Belshazzar, in his consternation, upon seeing like a hand, it just seemed like a handwriting. It must have looked to him like some disembodied hand. It was just a hand. He saw a hand. Just imagine you see a hand writing on the wall, right? Writing these words, Mene Mene Tekel Upharsin. Belshazzar, he vainly sought for a targum, what we call a targum, an interpretation from his own Babylonian soothsayers. Finally, you know, when they didn't know what's up from down, right? Finally, the Hebrew prophet Daniel was dispatched, was called upon and dispatched, who interpreted the writing to mean both the end of King Belshazzar's reign and the Judahite people's exile in Babylon. This is what the words Mena Mena Tekel Upharsin meant, according to Daniel, the Hebrew prophet's interpretation. Now, of course, Bemet, Daniel's words, they proved true. That very night, get this, that very night, not the night after, not a week later, a couple of, no. That very night, Medes, right? This was led by, they also call it Media. Interesting, right? Medes, led by Darius the First, and the Persians, modern day Iran, right? Iran, he ran, she ran, Iran. Modern day Iran was Persia. So at that very night, it was the Medes led by Darius the First and the Persians led by Koresh, also called Cyrus. They jointly attacked Babylonia, and King Belshazzar, he was murked. He was killed. Initially, Darius, you know, who led the Medians, right, of Medes, he was made emperor. He was made the king of kings of that region. But a year later, Koresh, a.k.a. Cyrus, he became the undisputed emperor, king of the kings, right, of the vast Medo-Persian Empire. The vast Medo-Persian Empire. Now, it's also very interesting because when we speak about the Medo-Persian Empire and we speak about Daniel, we also have to consider what is written in the prophet Daniel's writing concerning these particular, you know, kingdoms, you know, and the prophecy that was upon them, you know, to come. And so even the whole thing with the Medes and the Persians invading, Daniel points to what these things would mean from that time, right, and even to, you know, our time. But I don't want to digress. Let's move forward. So Darius first was the ruler, the king of kings, the emperor. A year later, Cyrus, Koresh, he became the undisputed, right, emperor or king of kings of the vast Medo-Persian. So the Persians basically took over, you could say, the Median Empire, right? But they both kind of worked together to attack and to kill King Belshazzar and to take over that particular ancient kingdom in which the Yehudi, the Judeans, right? Even we, the black Jews, were in Babylon. Now, King Cyrus. What about King Cyrus? King Cyrus was kindly disposed to the Yehudi, right? He was kindly disposed to the Judites, Judeans. And he even eventually decreed, right, that they should return to Yehuda. They should return to their land. And they should return with the intent to rebuild the Heikal of Yahweh, right, of Jehovah, the temple of the Lord. In this regard, Koresh was a Gentile Messiah. This is a very important point right here when we talk about Messiah, right? Messiah in a New Testament sense, Christ, because Christ basically means anointed, bringing out the sense of Messiah. So here we have Koresh, who was a Gentile. That means a Messiah, and even called so in the scripture, that was not a Israelite, right? He was a Gentile Messiah of the Judean people, right, who, like Moshe, right, like Moses, Koresh, right, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, right, like Moses, likened in a sense to Moses, he was raised up by Yah himself to enable the Judeans, right, their return to the land of Yehuda, the land of Judah. In fact, 200 years, here's how we know this, 200 years before, right, before all of that had happened, Isaiah, right, had named by name, right, and we have this in the prophet Isaiah, had named Cyrus, or in the Hebrew, Koresh, right, as the one who would come to rescue Yah's people. Where do we have this? Well, if we look in Isaiah, right, Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 and 13. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 13, we have the evidence that 200 years before, Isaiah had named Cyrus. And even there we have him being called, right, through the prophet, Yah's Moshiach, right? And this is one of the only, I would say, the only ones we found, right, according to the scripture, that is called a Messiah or a Christ, an anointed, right, of Yah, who is not a Israelite. However, even though the leaders of Yisrael, of Israel, did in fact, right, return to Jerusalem, thus ending the 70 years of exile that was prophesied by another prophet, Jeremiah had prophesied the ending, right, of the 70-year exile, right? Well, actually, he prophesied the 70-year exile that would be for 70 years, right? So most of the Judeans who were in Babylon, they chose to remain basically in Persia. So even after all of this, there was a handful, a small, we could say a remnant. That's what I mentioned with Ezra. Remember Ezra and Nehemiah? That was a small remnant. Ones did return, but the great majority stayed in exile, because after a time, you know, things were better for them, and, you know, it's like, why should, it's almost similar to what we have nowadays. But be that as it may, after Koresh's death, after Cyrus' death, roughly around 369 BC, some dispute about the exact year, but roughly 369 BC, we have somebody else that comes along. His name, at least from the Hebrew, was Ahasuerus, but he's more popularly known, right, in the Western academic as Xerxes, a.k.a. Hebraically Ahasuerus. He became the ruler of the Medo-Persian Empire. So you've heard about Xerxes, X-E-R-S-E-S, something like that. Well, this is that one right here. Now, he is much like Belshazzar. Remember Belshazzar, right? Before him. Ahasuerus, he made the mistake. What was Ahasuerus' mistake? It was the same mistake as Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. His mistake was partying. He decided to have a party, right? A feast, a party, a rave with the holy vessels, with the holy instruments, the holy vessels that were looted from Solomon's temple, which, notice this, that apparently had not been restored. This apparently was not restored to the Yehudim, to the Judahites, by King Cyrus, King Koresh. Very interesting. because otherwise if they were restored, then Ahasuerus couldn't do what he did. But these elements from looted from Solomon's temple were still there, right? So Ahasuerus, Xerxes made the same mistake as the Babylonian king grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. However, according to some of the Yehudi Judaic sages, right, of the past, instead of the Persians being judged for this act, guess what? The Yehudi, the Judeans who had remained in Babylon, right, they themselves were to be judged through the machinations and schemes of a particularly nasty, nasty prime minister. Interesting. We talk to Israelites, we talk to Jews and nasty prime ministers, huh? Right, but this nasty prime minister of Ahasuerus, his name was Haman. Haman. Right? Somebody say Haman, but really his name, Haman is a different person. This is Haman. Haman and Haman, not the same. Haman, right? And thus begins, this is the background, the context that begins the story and the narrative of the Sefer Hester, right? The book of Esther, right? The book of Esther. So just to give an overview, you know, there's the scroll of Esther, and we would advise, you know, the Chabarim, the brothers and sisters, you know, to check out this particular book, you know, the book of Esther, since now is not Purim, according to how we will observe, seeing that it's the leap year, we have roughly a little less than a month. But would like to touch on some of the details right here so one can kind of understand the context. Purim, once again, Purim means lots, lots. The best way for me to describe that, it's like dice, basically. What? Dice? Yeah, lots. Right? The principle of it is basically one and the same. But when we get to the Megillat, the scroll of Megillat, Esther, right? When we get to the scroll of Esther, we get to the story, the narrative of Esther. This is well known and is recorded in the book bearing her name, Esther. Here we read how Ahasuerus, his wife, Queen Vashti. Queen Vashti. Now I'm thinking about Von Benjamin's tune Before David. You heard that tune before? We might share that right here. Before David, because her name is kind of mentioned. I think we said before Esther was Vashti. But who was Vashti? Vashti was Xerxes' wife was Queen Vashti. She had refused the will of the king. And therefore, as queen wife, she was deposed. And it also tells of how Esther, her Hebrew name Hadasha, her name Esther Ishtar. We basically have the name Ishtar right there. It's interesting because some of the Yehudi, the Judeans, when in exile, maybe this was a way of not profaning their own Hebrew names, had adopted a secondary name. And Esther, the name Esther is her secondary name, basically Astir, a star like Asterix or Ishtar, right? But her Hebrew name is Hadasha, right? Or Hadassah, Slicha, Hadassah, Hadassah. Hadassah means myrtle, like a myrtle tree. Hadasha means like new, to renew. So Hadasha and Hadassah. Her name was Hadassah, a myrtle tree. She was chosen to replace Queen Vashti, or Vashti. And also we read in the Megillat, right, of Esther, of Hester, we also read about how this evil prime minister named Haman, he is said to have been an Amalekite. You remember the Amalekites, right? Even here in the Torah reading and feeding, that there'll be war against the Amalekites from generation to generation, and how Yahuwah commands the prophet Moshe to blot out the name of Amalek, right? Why? Well, Amalek, he was the great-grandson of Esau, Edomite. But how this evil prime minister, Haman, how he plotted to exterminate the Yehudim, the Judeans, or should we say the Judeans that chose to remain in foreign lands. right? Like Persia, like the majority who remained and did not return after the 70 years of exile were over. So arises this evil prime minister, Haman. He plots, he schemes to exterminate the Judeans on account. Why does he seek to do this? On account of his feral, like feral, like it's almost like a rabid hatred, right? Hadassah's pious cousin, Mordecai. Now, Mordecai, the name Mordecai is interesting too. The other version of it is Marduk, right? How Esther learned of Haman's plot, how she found out about what he was plotting, how she had called for a fast. She called all of her people. She said, I will do as Mordecai, you know what I mean? My uncle, so-called Uncle Mort, I would do as he says, but I need y'all to do something for me, right? In other words, she would go as a lioness into the proverbial lion's den, right? And basically become the queen of this foreign king, Xerxes Ahasuerus. But first, I need all of you Yedim. I need the Yedim, the Yehudim. I need y'all to do something for me. What? I need y'all to fast. So she called for a fast, right? The fast that's connected with Purim. She called for a fast in order for her to make appeal to the king. In other words, let me put this in context. Even though she's the queen, she just can't run in on him and just make any requests or appeal, right? It was something that was not done. It was out of ordinary and something that if it was done and done improperly and seen as being improper, it could cost her and others' lives. So she asked for her people to fast. You know, somebody say, pray with me, right? Or pray for me. No, she's like, just fast with me in order for her to make this appeal to have their fast, right? And the spiritual energy, the spiritual power of that collective fast of her people behind her so she could make an appeal to the king, to the Persian king on behalf of Jah people, the Yehudi people, and how the Yehudim, the Judahites, were given permission. I was giving you the highlights right here of the book of Esther, how the Judeans, after almost everything was said and was done, the Judeans were given permission by the king to defend themselves. Right? The right of defense, the Judahites, I and I Jah people were given that permission, even in, I can't say exile, but in a foreign land, right, to defend themselves from whoever, right? Imagine this, we are foreigners in a foreign land, right? And we get that grace, even through the ruler, where the ruler says, listen, even if my own people are attacking you, you can defend yourself against them. Right. And thereby be delivered from their downpressors, their oppressors. As for the nasty boy, right, Haman, right, all his schemes, guess what? They boomeranged upon him. And he was hung. He was hung, right? High, high, high. He was hung up high. His head was lifted up. Right on the very gallows originally built to hang his nemesis, right, Mordecai, and no doubt even other Yehudi. Now think about this for a moment. You know, they wanted to lynch our brother, right, you know, Mordecai, right, and through that grace of Yah, right, the one that had conceived of this lynching, this hanging, he himself was hanged on the very gallows, like on the very tree, on the very gallows that he had sought to hang his enemy. Here, this brings in Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs. Remember, we're talking about so-called lots. You know what I mean? We're talking about poor, the word poor, Purim. Proverbs 16:33, right? So you can understand, well, why we call it Purim? What did lots have to do with it? You know, is it lawful to cast lots? Well, if you look at it, it is. It is the Israelite way, the way that Yah allows. But it's not right to cast lots or roll dice their way. This is what it says right here in Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from Yahuwah. Ba'chek yutal et ha'goral. Right, the lot is cast into the lap, or like say the bosom. Ooh, may Yahuwah. But from Yahuwah and from Yahuwah call mishpato. Call mishpato. All mishpato. All his decisions. But all his decisions or all the decisions. Right? It can be translated as every decision. But we can say all of his decisions, right? All of the decisions is from Yahuwah. Proverbs 16:33 right there. So much is made over the fact that the book of Esther is the only book in Tanakh, or what we call the Brit Hayashanah, the Old Testament scriptures, what's called the Old Testament scriptures, that does not explicitly, explicitly mention the Hashem, mention Yahuwah, right? Mention his name, the name of Eloheinu, of our almighty power. That Esther is the only book in the, we could say, the Hebrew Bible where Yah's name is not explicitly mentioned. However, the idea of Ha'elohim, of Ha'elohim, Eloheinu, Yahuwah, his sovereignty, and also what we know as the Hashgacha, divine like providence, is clearly implied throughout the entire narrative. In light of this hidden miracle, right, we refer to this as there's a hidden miracle here. On the Hebrew, it's the Nes Nistar. Nes Nistar, hidden sign, hidden banner, hidden miracle, the Nes Nistar of the Yehudi, the Judean deliverance in foreign land. Esther and Mordecai ordained from such a time that Purim might should be observed as a, quote, a day of feasting and merrymaking. And of sending gifts to the poor. We have this in Esther chapter 9, verses 22 to 28, that this is where we get the ordination. So it's true that Purim is not one of the day Yahuwah, but it is an observation, right, that gives thanks to Yahuwah for his deliverance. And therefore, it is, we could say, outside of the seven, we could say, feasts and festivals that begin with Pesach and seal up with Sukkot, or begins with Passover and seals up with the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles. So the authorization by those who do keep this is most clearly found within Esther chapter 9, verses 22 and 28, that Purim should be observed as a day of feasting and merrymaking and a day of sending gifts to the poor. By the way, Purim is so named. Why is it so named? It's so named because Haman had cast lots. In other words, so to speak, he rolled the dice, right? He cast lots to determine the day on that to destroy the Judeans, the Yehudim, in foreign. Ironically, Hashem demonstrates that he is the master, right? Robeinu shel ha'olamim, over the outcome of chance. So even in the rolling of dice, Yahuwah is the master of the outcome of even such chance throughout the entire narrative. So right there, just giving ones a good overview. My overview is kind of interesting because today's daily psalm is Psalm 37, fret not thyself. You know, psalm right here. So here.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, that ye be not partakers of her sins,
Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, my people, my people, my people, my people.
What did Daniel say, huh?
Rastafari, Rastafari, Rastafari,
Rastafari. Rastafari. The people shall rejoice in Selassie and the earth shall be meek. Hey, hey, hey. The world shall see ya. The Lamb upon his throne where you have conquered the
evil. Chapter 7.
Here's what Daniel said.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of man, and a mouth, speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others. A fiery stream issued and came forth from the void. Fiery stream, fiery stream, fiery stream.
Yes, 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 a fiery stream. So here we have Daniel, a little bit of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, right there, there, there. Let's just touch on for the Purim Katan, Katan, Purim Katan. So normally this would be, if it wasn't a leap year, Hebraic Judaic leap year, you know, according to the time and the season, this would be the time of the Shabbat Zakor. But let's touch a little bit on the dates of Purim, right? Yeshua and Purim as well. I want to touch on that. And the prophetic import or like the prophetic application? Is there a prophetic foreshadowing that we have from the Brit HaYashanah, what's called the Old Testament, Tanakh, Hebrew Bible, Hebrew Old Testament scriptures, and the Brit Hadasha and the New Testament? Yes, there is. Let's see if we can just touch on this right here, here, here. Dates of Purim, Havarim. Now, for the diaspora, for those in, we say, foreign land, other lands, you know, Purim is celebrated, right, on the 14th of the Hebrew month of Adar, as the day after Haman's, right, Haman's roll of the dice, the roll of the Purim, indicated that the 13th, right, the 13th of Adar, the 13th, interesting. Is this the idea of the Friday, the 13th, something about the number 13th? But it was the 13th of Adar to be the most, quote, as it would say, propitious, end quote, for the extermination of the Yehudim, of the Judeans that were in Persia, right, or within the Medo-Persian Empire. According to the book of the Megillat of Esther, from, it says, from all the Yehudi from Ethiopia, right, to Persia, right, and all the countries in between. That's another important area of study. But Purim is celebrated on the day after. So one might say, well, why the day after? Well, it was on this day that the Yehudim, the Judeans in foreign, right, successfully were able to fend off with prayer and fasting their enemies, right? And a daughter, right, of Judea, of Yehuda, right, being that one to, you could say, be on the tip of the spear, as it were, speaking of Hadassah, a.k.a. Esther. And they, and we experience the joy of deliverance from sudden destruction. Shushan Purim, Shushan is an interesting Hebrew word, basically means lilies, like Shoshana lilies, and symbolically, Hebraically, Judaically, it's a symbol of trumpets, and trumpets are like declarations. So Shushan Purim is observed in Yisrael a day later still. So those who are within that land between the two rivers, the river of Ethiopia, Gihon, to the river of Euphrates, within that land, they would observe it on a day later, on Adar 15th. Now, the reason for these different dates, what are they? It is said that the reason for these different dates of the festival of Purim is that the Yehudi, right, the Yehudim, the Judeans, the Judahites of Shushan, there was a place also named Shushan, that they waged war on both the 13th and the 14th of Adar, that there was a war that the Yehudim of Shushan, you know, waged war on the 13th and the 14th of the Hebrew month of Adar, and observed that they who had waged war, right, took matters proverbially in their own hands, they observed war, that they observed also the 15th day as a day of festivity and rejoicing. But in the other provinces, remember it was the provinces from, according to the book of Esther, from Ethiopia to Persia, that in the other provinces, the Yehudim, the Judahites, they had waged war on the 13th after Ahasuerus gave that particular, you know, defend yourself, stand your ground, so to speak. The Yehudim, we the black Jews, waged war on the 13th and observed the 14th as the day of rejoicing. So the Yehudim in Yisrael identify with the Yehudim of Shushan, you know, in the different provinces. And hence, it is a celebration called Shushan Purim. Now, here, on leap years, Purim is celebrated a month later, as we have in this season, this time, Purim being celebrated a month later, during Adar 2nd, right, and through Adar, although Adar 14th is still observed, right, during leap years as what we call it Purim Katan, Purim Lots, the little Lots or little Purim. In modern times, many cities, right, have celebrated local, what they call Purims. You might have heard of Purims, also called Purim Katan, all commemorating the deliverance of the local community from a particular anti-Yehudi, anti-Israelite ruler or group, non-partially. Purim is a time of celebration, celebration on account of Yah, of Jah's victory and deliverance for Amo, for his people. So we say, Urah, Urah for Mordecai, Urah, or some say, Hooray, we say, Urah. And may Haman and his kind forever, forever and ever be foiled in their vain attempts to undermine those who call upon the name of Yahuwah, Elohei Yisrael, Jehovah, the Almighty Power of Israel. Amen and amen. Now, we're going to just skip over some of the baraka. You know, there's the Hebrew baraka that said during the time of Purim, you know. But, you know, now I'm saying it, let me just touch on it just briefly right here. Although Purim is considered the minor holiday, right, on the Yehudi Judaic, because a spiritual and religious calendar, which means that it's not attended with the same halakhic restrictions, you know, that are based on the study of Torah observed on other holy days. The primary commandment of Purim is basically to recite three berkot, three blessings, before the hearing of Megillat Esther, the scroll of Esther, the book of Esther, recited during the synagogue, the Jewish church's services, one in the evening and another in the morning. The three preliminary berkot, we can say, are as follows. Baruch Ata Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav, with Iwano Al Mikra Megillat, Megillah. Amen. Blessed art thou, O he who be, who he be, our almighty power, Baruch Ata Yahweh Eloheinu, Master of the universe, King of the world, Melech HaOlam, Master of the universe, or eternal, that can also be translated as eternal King, Melech HaOlam, who sanctified us, Asher Kidshanu, who made us set apart, Asher Kidshanu, with his commandments, B'mitzvotayo B'mitzvotav, by way of his commandments, and commanded us with Iwanu, regarding of, upon, the reading, Mikra, of the Megillah, of the scroll, with Iwanu al Mikra Megillah. It's interesting because Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paul, he reminds one in one of the epistles, make sure you bring the scrolls. You know, make sure you bring the scrolls, the Megillot. And these are these scrolls. The second baraka blessing is Baruch Ata Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'asa Nisim La'aboteinu B'yamim Hahem Bazeman Hazeh. And the responsa, Amen. Blessed art thou, Baruch Ata, O he who be, who he be, our almighty power, Yahweh Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Master of the Universe, Eternal King, who perform miracles, who perform signs and miracles, She'asa Nisim, who performed the Nisim, the miracles, for our fathers, for our patriarchs, for our ancestors, La'avoteinu, in those days, Bayamim Hahem, in the days the them, in those days, Bayamim Hahem, at this time, Bazeman Hazeh, in the season the this, in this season. Responsa, Amen. third Baraka before the hearing of the reading of the Megillah, right here. Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehecheyanu Wekimanu. Let me come again. Ani lechozer slicha li. Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehecheyanu Wekimanu Wehigianu La Zaman Hazeh. Amen. Blessed art thou, Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu, O he who be, we be, our almighty power, Melech HaOlam, eternal King, Master of the Universe, who has kept us alive, Shehecheyanu, who has kept us alive, Shehecheyanu, and has sustained us, Wikimanu, and has brought us, Wehigianu, to this season, La Zaman, to this Zaman, this Zemin, this Zaman, La Zaman, to this season, Hazeh, this season, La Zaman, Hazeh, response, Amen. So after these Berkot are recited, then the scroll of Esther, the Megillata Esther, is read. During the reading of the Megillah, the scroll, everyone, traditionally, some would shout boo or make otherwise loud noises. It's a narrative, so one would engage a narrative in this kind of a call and response. When the name Haman is heard, it's like when reading among I and I, we'd be like, fire, hata. You know, others will say boo, while others would wildly cheer whenever the name Mordecai is heard. Right, so some call this the grogers, like noisemakers and other devices, you know, almost sound effects, you know, in times, you know, are often employed. And some might consider it to be somewhat of a wild experience and a lot of fun, but you're supposed to rejoice at being saved and that for salvation. At the end of the reading, an additional baraka blessing regarding Hashem's vengeance is often recited. Now here, just in sealing up here, Yeshua. What about Robeinu? I and I, Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Yeshua HaNotri. What about Yeshua and Purim? Did Yeshua, did Jesus, did he celebrate Purim? Well, it is written in Yohanan, in John's Gospel, chapter 5, that he was in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, for an otherwise unnamed feast. But some scholars have questioned, you know, which feast this was. Some have rejected the idea that it was Purim because Purim is considered a minor feast, and not one of the Shalosh Regalim, or those seven Mo'edei Yahuwah Eloheinu, the seven feasts appointed in HaTorah of Jehovah, the three pilgrim festivals. But then we will say this, well, you know, you can say that, but note that Yohanan, why it was left unnamed. Be that as it may, however, we know that Yeshua, right, HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, he celebrated Hanukkah. How do we know this? Well, just go to Yohanan, John chapter 10, verse 22. See it right there. This is another so-called minor feast, right, and festival of Jah people that is not one of the seven right within the season. This is one of the minor feasts that's what we call out of season in the 5 months, right, between the end of the old, we could say, ecclesiastical or holy feast portion of the year and the coming of the next Pesach, right? So it is also another minor feast, Hanukkah, but yet we have Robeinu Adonainu Yeshua celebrating it. So in academic circles, we'll say a priori, right? That is not a worthy objection. It's like kind of saying that is not a good objection when you consider, well, he did observe this. Now, according to one Lambert Dolphin's research, right, on this particular question, chronologically, the only feast that Yohanan, that John, according to John chapter 5, could be referring to is Purim. When we start to read the gospel from a Yehudi perspective, we start to be able to put things that they didn't overtly say because it was already known to everyone. But now people don't know these things, so they read it from a Western Gentile perspective. But when you look at it Hebraically and chronologically, as Lambert Dolphin's research brings out, chronologically, Hebraically, Judaically, the only feast that Yohanan could be referring to is Purim, since it is said to have occurred on Shabbat, according to John chapter 5, verse 9, but the only feast, see, here's how we know, right? That's why Yeshua said to the Samaritan, your worship that which you know not, we know worship of salvation of the Yehudim. Because looking at it from that perspective, we know that the only feast that occurred on Shabbat, right, between the years of 25 to 35 CE, right, of the so-called Christian era or AD, was in fact Purim, and this was in the year 28 CE, Christian era or AD, or some would say CE, common era. But why was it referred to as an unnamed feast? It's called a feast, but it's not named. Perhaps it is the Ruach Eloheinu, the spirit of our almighty power, intentionally leaving out the name of the feast. Why? Because the name of Yahuwah, the Hashem, was likewise deliberately left out of the book of Esther. Right? And there's a whole reason that, you know, we can have on, you know, this and that. Now, just to sum up right here, because we want just to seal it with this, looking at the time, going to do brief on today's daily psalm, the fret not thyself, but just to understand these things more in context and to do the follow-up and come and let's reason on this. The prophetic significance of Purim. Right? Well, let me just say this at the outro. It's interesting that the other Yehudi, right, of other nations, Eastern European nations, they can apply what's in the Torah and in the Hebrew scriptures to themselves, and we, the once lost, now found, black and brown, need to apply this as well to ourselves. And after all, it even has, you know, one of our sisters, daughters, mothers, and wives in a significant position, which shows that there was no sexism, right, amongst the real people. If a woman was chosen to fulfill, you know, that divine ordinance. So the prophetic significance of Purim. Purim is a happy and a, you know, one would say a fun-filled holy day. Why? Because it rejoices over the irresistible, right, grace of Elohei Yisrael, the Elohim, almighty power of Israel, and his provider, his providing, his providential care, his seeing before and providing to it. And while we should rejoice over the deliverance of Yah, over the deliverance of Jah in times past, Purim has a prophetic dimension that many of us, and I will say I as well, like that is yet to be fulfilled, right, in what we refer to as the end of days, the times of the Gentiles, the Acharit Hayamim, Acharit Hayamim, the end of days. The Midrash, the study of Esther, it says this, that Purim, unlike many of the other holy days, will be celebrated even after the final redemption, after what is known as the Acharit Hayamim, the end of days, or the end of the times of the nation states, the ends of the times of the Gentiles. This is because of the narrative, the story of Purim, Yah's covenantal faithfulness and defense of his people, of Jah people, even those people who have stayed behind, right, while the others had returned after the exile. Oh, yes, because they were the ones who had stayed behind, but still, nevertheless, right? When they had trust in him, he fulfilled his word. We'll be magnified in deliverance that leads to the establishment, the full establishment of the kingdom of heaven on this earthly plane, the messianic kingdom up on earth. Thy will be done on earth, the days of heaven on earth. Indeed, the second coming, as some may refer to, of HaMashiach, will be regarded and is to be regarded as a final fulfillment of Purim. Now, Haman, he is clearly a type of anti-Moshiach, like of Antichrist, of a Satan, an adversary, an enemy, a hater, who desires to see that Jah people exterminated, wiped out once and for all. In the Brit Hadasha, in the Renewed Covenant, what's called a New Testament, we know that there is soon coming one, right, who is the embodiment, and even we've witnessed many who have seemed to be the embodiment of the spirit of a Haman, right? Some might mention a Hitler, but then we, the once lost, now found, right? We have to mention, you know, counterfeit Christianity and this so-called white supremacy. All of that is part of that same spirit of Haman. And all the other anti, you know, Jah people murderers, right, throughout the ages. This one, right, according to the scripture, they say the man of sin, right, or some might refer to it as a messiah of evil, right, an antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2, right, and 3. This one, some say, will broker some sort of peace, some say in the Middle East, some say, and will feign, right, to be friendly to Israel, some say, but who will ultimately betray her and seek to have her utterly destroyed. Is that prophecy fulfilling in fulfillment? Clearly, it has not been fully fulfilled yet. Ha-Satan, the hater, the enemy, the op, final attempt to provide, you know, a final solution, right, to Jah people, right? This too will be foiled, just as Haman's attempt was foiled. His plan will boomerang, just like Haman's plan upon his own head. So think about all these conspiracies to like wipe out population control, kill off people, do all these weirdo things and evil things that they're doing, that these things will boomerang, and we need to fast and pray for that judgment day, as they did even in the book of Esther. So their plans will boomerang upon their own head, just as Haman's plan boomerang up on him. And he and his children, notice this in Purim, you know, some Western Gentile Christians, they don't like the book of Purim, right? Because it speaks to what should be done in to them and to theirs because of their anti-God and anti-Christ activities while going around the world preaching in Jesus' name and doing things against, right, the spirit of God in Christ. And so with Haman, he and his children also will hang from the gallows, just as Haman, Haman, and his children did. I know, it sounds really, really like bitter there, but it's not vindictive. It's justice. Some will say karma, but we will say it's just what's right, right? When Adonai Yeshua, right, it is said, returns at the end of the great tribulation, right? May he return and be in our hearts and minds. He will destroy the Antichrist and Messiah of evil by what? By the word, right? The words of his mouth, the word of his power, word, sound, and power, and physically deliver, right, Jah people and true Yisrael, right, and manifest the rightful king and lordship. Israel's long-awaited Moshiach ben David, Messiah ben David, will be clearly revealed and understood, right, and understood, right, and Moshiach ben Yosef himself, Father, Son, is one. Then and only then will Yisrael, Yahshua, experience that true, that full deliverance and salvation of Eloheinu. And the rejoicing of that sort of a Purim will be like none other. And this here brings us to this final point right here before we sum up right here, a little expanded Purim reasoning, Chaburim, you know, and give thanks and praise to Mordecai and also for Esther, Hadassah, you know, a sister, a daughter of Israel, you know, who was able to, you know, step into the breach, you know what I mean, and do that work, you know, for the salvation of Jah people. A whole good reasoning on that as well. And this is just a further word that brings out the truth. You know, like people always say, oh, sexism, a woman this, a woman that. But we have many righteous women in the scripture, and we need to take note of that. This is like a virtuous woman aspect from what is said every Shabbat. You know, and faithful families gathered around that table, that Seder, well prepared, when they open the scroll of Proverbs chapter 31 and read from verse 10 to verse 31 concerning the virtuous woman. Here we have this in Purim. But we have a Purim HaGadol. You know, interesting, in Revelation as a bride, right? She prepares as a bride, like for a wedding, a marriage, and think about Esther right there. Just think about this, came to heart and mind. But Purim HaGadol, what is Purim HaGadol? It is the great Purim, Purim HaGadol, the big Purim. Here's a vision, right, some of us say, of that coming Purim. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16, right? Right here, here. Then I saw heaven, Shemaim, the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. Ne'eman v'yashar. In the Hebrew, Ne'eman v'yashar, right? Faithful and yashar, and upright, faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. Shem katuv asher lo yada ish ki im hu levado. No one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the word of Elohim. Dibar, Devar Ha Elohim, Dibar Ha Elohim. And the armies of Shemaim, the heavens arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, with that to strike down the nations, the nation states. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the wine press of the fierce fury of the wrath of Elohim, the ruler over all, Yahuwah Elohei Tzibaot, he who be who he be, the Elohim of the armies. Or in translation, they would have the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh Elohei Tzibaot. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, the King of Kings, Melech HaMelachim, and the Lord of Lords, Adonai HaAdonim. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. And we say, may that day come speedily and in our time and in I, Iowa. Yes, I. Amen. Amen. And say a joyful. Yeah, so interesting. interesting here of this Torah reading and feeding that robe, speaking about the Messiah and his garments here in this 20th sabbatical study for Tetzaveh, Tetzaveh, thou shall command. Just look double-wise right here, rising sun, Ja robe, right here. Remember the Tiferet, Tefarah, Yesai, that attribute of the Almighty God. Ja robe. Yes. So here, today's daily psalm according to the royal order. Here, first word, first ear. Psalm 37 right here in this season, in this time, often referred to as a fret not psalm.
Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, he is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. 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 They trust in him.
Worry not to say, fret not to say. Worry not yourself, my brother. Fret not yourself. Worry not yourself, my brother. Fret not yourself. Remember there's a God above you. And this season watch everything you do. Once a man and twice a child. Every little thing is for a while. The seed you sow, you shall surely reap. Old time people who could see, silent river and deep. Ooh, 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 well. So worry not yourself, my brother. Fret not yourself. Worry not yourself, my brother. Fret fret not yourself. Some will eat and drink with you and guide your path. This will find you. Yes, you. You I'm talking to. Yes, it's you that I'm
prophesies in Psalm 37. You know, it says it all right there, So we're going to kind of go forward into this sabbatical right here, you know, because of the time here after Shabbat podcast, to the first podcast, looking forward to the first day service, Sunday service. Those who can join, I and I on the ear and the eyelid, or hopefully be able to check out the replay, and may it be an MRE, mana, ready to eat, right there. But here, let's go to the synopsis right here. Let's put this Torah reading and feeding the 20th into its proper context. Go over a synopsis right here. Shema'an
Yisrael. Sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Here we are at the 20th sabbatical study here in the Shabbat Shalom, Senbet Salam, right here, Rastafari sabbatical Saturdays here after the Shabbat podcast. So here, let's just go over just an overview here. Here we are at the 20th sabbatical study here in the Shemester right here at Shabbat Tetzaveh, modern Hebrew, Tetzaveh, ancient Afro-Shemitic pointing, Tetzaveh, thou male shall command, the eye shall tzawa, to command, Tetzaveh, thou shall command. So here we pick up here, second book of Moshe, Hebrew book. Second book of the Bible, the Hebrew book that's known as the Sefer Shemot, as the book of the names, the Yetziat Mimitzrayim, the Exodus from the Tawi, from the two lands that's called Egypt, Hebraically Mitzrayim, according to the ancient Mitzrayim, they said the Tawi, the two lands corresponding exactly to the Hebrew Mitzrayim, but in the English we refer to it as Egypt, ancient Egypt. But here we pick up with Exodus chapter 27, verses 20 to Exodus chapter 30, verse 10. So it's a brief synopsis, a little overview right here. In the previous sabbatical study, Torah reading and feeding, the previous portion explained that Hashem, that the name Ha'elohim, the Almighty Power, had asked for a terumah, an up offering called a donation, a contribution from Amo Yisrael, the people, of Yasharal, people of Israel, for the sake of creating a portable, a mobile tent-like sanctuary called the Tabernacle. Elohim then showed Moshe the pattern, the tabnit, the pattern. He says, see that you do all things according to the tabnit, the pattern. So key here for the fellow Chabarim and Talmudim, fellow disciples, pattern recognition. So Yahuwah showed Moses, Moshe, the pattern, the tabnit. According to that, the tabernacle, the ohel, literally the tent, referred to as the mikdash, the holy place, the set-apart place, and also as the mishkan, the dwelling place, and its furnishings were to be made. First of all, we have the Aron HaBrit. We have the Aron, HaAron, the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron HaBrit, the Tabot, Ethiopically speaking, and its cover, referred to as the mercy seat, Hebraically as the Kaporet. The Kaporet, the covering known as the mercy seat, would occupy an inner chamber that is called the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Holy of the Holy Ones. Within, there's an adjoining chamber that's called the Kodesh, the holy place or the set-apart place, and a table, a shulchan, a table that would hold 12 loaves of matzah, of bread, and a seven-branch menorah, or lampstand, that would illuminate the tent. Just a note right here for the Chabarim, I think in the audible coming forward, who's going to the English and seeking to bring out the Hebrew, but we didn't articulate that the menorah is referred to as she. You'll find that in the KJV, it says his shaft, his branches, his knops, but really in the Hebrew, her,
shaft, branches, and knops. So the menorah, the seven-branch menorah would illuminate the ohel, the tent. Ha'ilahim, the Elohim, gave precise dimensions of the ohel of the tent, known as the tabernacle, the ohel moed, the tent of meeting, the tent of the appointment, with the added instruction. Now, when we say Torah, Torah comes down to that very root idea of instruction, teaching, or direction. To separate the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, by a paroket. Paroket in the Hebrew is a veil. The entire Ohel tent was to have a wooden frame covered by colored fabric and the hide of rams and goats. Now, outside the Ohel, the tent, an outer court was defined that would include a copper, or in some translations they say brass, a copper sacrificial altar known as a mizbeach, and a water basin, a basin for washing. The outer court was to be enclosed by a fence made with fine linen on silver poles with hooks of silver and sockets of brass. Now that brings us right here to this sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong here, the 20th sabbatical study for Shabbat Tetzaveh. It continues a description of the ohel, of the tent, or called the tabernacle, though the focus here, it shifts to those who will serve within. So in the previous teruma, we get the contributions, the teruma from room, like to lift up from ram in the Hebrew, room, something that's lifted up, teruma, up offering of the materials, the instructions, directions, and then the call for the contribution from Amo, from the people, Amo Yisrael. Now here, in this 20th, that was from the 19th, but here for continuity purposes, here we continue the description of the tabernacle, although the focus, all right, what's the price of truth? Pay attention. The attention or the focus is shifts to those who will serve within, namely the Kohanei Yisrael, namely the Kohanim, the priests, the Kohanei Yisrael, the priests of Yasharala of Yisrael. First, Moshe was instructed to tell the Israelites, the rank and file Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, to bring pure oil, olive, for the lamps of HaMenorah, that the priests, the Kohanim, were to kindle every evening in the Kodesh, in the holy place, not the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but in the first, we could say the first room, so to speak. Next, Ha'ilahim, the Elohim, commanded Moses to ordain Aharon, Aaron, and Benayo, and Banim, and his sons as Kohanim, as priests, and describe the priestly garments they would wear while serving in the Ohel, while serving in the tabernacle. Now, all of the Kohanim, right, were to wear four garments. And this is a note right here for the fellow disciples, that all of the priests, according to the HaTorah instruction here, all of the priests were to be Levites, but not all of the Levites, Halloween, were to be Kohanim. The Kohanim here, Aharon, the high priest, we could say the Moshiach, he is the Messiah, the first use of Messiah within the Hebrew scriptures is found here in the principles and the pattern of the high priest, the one who's anointed, and his sons. So now all the priests, the Kohanim, were to wear four garments, these four garments, especially while serving, namely linen breeches, tunics, sashes, and turbans. But in addition to these, the Kohen Gadol, Kohen, the priest, Gadol, big, the big priest, we like to say the high priest in the translations, was to wear a blue robe decorated with pomegranates and golden bells. Over this robe, there's what's known as an ephod, or the ephod, an apron woven of gold, blue, purple, and crimson, was to be worn, and upon the ephod was attached a breastplate known as the breastplate, inlaid with precious stones, jewels, gems, inscribed with the names, the Shemot, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Finally, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, would wear a golden plate engraved with the words, Kedusha LaYahweh, holiness, set apartness to he who be who he be, to HaKadosh, to the Holy One, upon the front of his turban. Lastly, but not leastly here, just for overview, before we go into some of the details Hebraically and in the translation, the Kohanim, the priests, were to be ordained in a special seven-day ceremony, a whole Shabuah, a Shabuah long, Shabuah in the Hebrews, like we say, the week from the Shabbat, Shabbat, the seven, sense of seven and an oath, the Shabuah, 7 days, a week-long ceremony that involved washing, dressing, and Messiah-ing, or in translation, anointing them with oil and dam and blood, followed by the offering of sacrifices. HaKohanim, the priests, were further instructed to present burnt offerings, olot, twice a day upon the copper altar, upon the brazen mizbeach. Now the portion here, 20th sabbatical study here for this Shabbat to Tzawet, it ends or fulfills with a description of the golden altar, very important here, the other altar known as the golden altar. So one is a brass, copper altar, mizbeach, and here we have the golden altar upon which incense, upon that aishens, incense, was offered twice a day by the Kohanim, by the priests, when the menorah lamps, the lamps of the menorah were serviced, were cleaned and prepared and serviced. In addition, the blood of atonement was to be placed on its four corners, once a shana, once a year. And this is here stated in the Torah direction instruction that was to occur during the Yom HaKippurim, falsely called Yom Kippur. The Torah calls it Yom HaKippurim, the Day of the Atonements in the plural sense, the Day of the Atonements. Yom Kippur is just to say the Day of a Atonement. But the Torah says Yom HaKippurim, right? Rite and ritual. So here, Chaburim, going to ride up right here. So here we pick up with Exodus chapter 27 from the Torah reading in the three readings, the Trinity, Hebrew Trinity of readings, Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 to chapter 30, verse 10. In the Nebim, the prophet's reading, in the Biyat, the prophet's reading, we have Yechezkel, Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 10 to 27. And in the Brit Chadasha, in the Adis Kidan, the New Testament reading, we have the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, focus verses 10 to 17. So here in this Torah reading and feeding, we're going to go over from the Torah, Exodus, the oil for the lamp, the vestments, the garments for the kahuna, for the priesthood, ha-ephod, the ephod, the breastplate, the choshen, the other priestly vestments, the ordination or consecration or the filling, as it says the filling in the Hebrew, when they say consecration in the English, the Hebrew brings out the idea of the filling, namely the filling of the hands, the consecration ordination of the Kohanim, the priests, the daily offerings, the altar, and the fulfillment in chapter 30 with the altar of Aishens. Called chosen faithful Rastafari, take note, the altar of Aishens, directions, instructions, and that's known as the Great Worship, the Great Worship chapter right there. Now, in the prophet's reading, in Ezekiel, we have the altar, the focus in Ezekiel chapter 43, namely at verse 13, is HaMizbeach. Now, here, a little story, right, a little narrative from some of the ancient teachings right here, right, Shabbat 31a, a thought for the Shavua. Out of all countries, HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he chose the land of Yisrael. And from the land of Yisrael, he selected HaHekal, he selected the temple. And from HaHekal, the temple, or the tabernacle in its first type, according to the pattern, he selected only the Holy of Holies, only the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. Now, in a similar sense, taking that as a point of reference according to the pattern, similarly, out of all nations, according to the scriptures, HaElohim, the Elohim selected Yisrael. And from Yisrael, he selected the tribe of Levi. And from the tribe of Levi, he chose Aharon. He chose even the family and the sons of Aaron. So right here from the Exodus Rabbah 37a, 37.4, that reasonment right there. But here, looking at the time right here, going to go forward hopefully for the first day service right here on the end in the Irid. Here, let's ride up right here with the Baraka, the blessing here for this sabbatical study here for this Shabbat strong. Are ye not as the children of the, you don't know.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel? Saith the Lord.
Right here, a short version right here of the Baraka, the blessing before the reading of HaTorah, Shema Yisrael. Hear this.
Barku et Yahuwaham Boram.
Yes, it's all about the tabernacle, his dwelling and the indwelling. Yes, 90 seconds. We'll go to the grace period right here, and we begin off the Aliyot here for this 20th sabbatical study. But this, first this right here, tell me who shot tabernacle.
Them and those who walk it in the road of righteousness and seek at the truth within their heart shall enter in the hall of the whole of tabernacle of Jaja. Tell me who shall abide in thy tabernacle.
of love. It's only them that willing to do the work of Jah shall go to Mount Zion and live. Only them that know the name of His Majesty and accept it to opportunity. It's only them who care for the people and love the people and love the world. It's only them shall enter in the tabernacle full of Mount Zion. Yeah, that's why I'm asking John for the things that we need, the things that we need, the things that we need in life, the things that we need in life to make our mind feel comfortable. The future shall abide in that tabernacle for the them who love Him. The future shall abide in. Tell it to me, I have something with precious for the whole wide world to listen to now. Oh, yeah, help me, I'm willing for your help. I want you help, Joe, I need a little thing. Food, clothes, and shelter, and health and strength. Love and liberty, and love and liberty. All over the land, for the people, just people, bo 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 bo. Tell me who just shall abide in Thy tabernacle and go to Zion.
Baruch Atah Adonai.
Jah, Rastafari. Jah, Rastafari.
Here the baraka, the blessing for the reading of the Torah blessing right here.
Blessings of the Torah before the Torah portion reading in the Hebrew and English tongue. Baraku et Yahweh Hamvara. Baruch Yahweh Hamvara. Leolam vayeh, Baruch atah Yahweh, Eloheinu melech haolam, Asher bekarbenu mebo hamayim, Venutan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Yahweh, Notein HaTorah. Bless Yahweh, the Blessed One. Blessed is Yahweh, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Almighty, King of the Universe, who selected us from all the peoples and gave us His Torah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, giver of the Torah.
Jah is thy light, and I be a testament to the light that shineth through the night. Humble lion, I have to forward and reach Mount Zion. We're following the light of the Lamb and the Lion, the Most Holy One, the Father and the Son. Read it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. May I tell you, no, read up your Bible.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
Up in all the streets.
Here, Shema Yisrael, here, Gevil Yisrael, here for the Rishon Aliyah, for this Shabbat, Shabbat to Sabbath thou, the I, male, shall command, shall command, shall command, shall command, shall command, shall command, shall command. But Shabbat to Tzawe, here for the Rishon,
the Rishon, the first Aliyah. Here picking up with the second book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's called Exodus. Exodus chapter 27. Here at verse 20 for this 20th Rastafari sabbatical study, and here for this Shabbat strong, here for the Rishon Aliyah, here for the first up offering up, here for the Rishon Aliyah, here for the first reading for this Shabbat it's our Sabbath, thou male shalt command. The tabernacle, Hamishkan. Here, the 17th item, the oil for the light, the oil for the illumination. B'shem Ha'av V'Habein V'Ruach HaKadosh Yahweh Echad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who ye be, is the one. Wa'ata Tetzaweh, et b'nei Yisrael v'yikochu eleka. Shemen Zayita Zaka Tatita Lamaor Leha Elot Ner Tamid. And thou, the eye shall command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. Wata Titzawe Etabene Yisrael. And thou, the eye male, shall command Wata Titzawe Et b'nei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael, v'yikochu eleika, that they bring, that they take to the eye, that they bring to the eye, v'yikochu eleika, shemen azayita zaka tatita lamaor, that they bring to the eye pure olive oil beaten for the lights. Shemen zayit zak katit lamaor. Liha elot ner tamid, to cause a lamp a ner liha elot, to ascend, to burn, to ascend tamid, continually, itinually. Wata tetzawe et bnei Yisrael v'yikochu eleika shemen zayit zaka katit lamaor liha elot ner tamid. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, that before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before Jehovah, a statute forever to their generations on the behalf of the Bnei Yisrael, on the behalf of the children of Yisrael. B'ohela mo'eda mi'chut la paroketa shara Al ha'edut ya eroka oto aheronu banayu me ereva adaboker lifnei Yehovah hukata olam le dorotama meita bnei Yisrael. Yisrael. Second book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Exodus chapter 28. The priesthood, the kohuna, the priesthood. First item, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohanim, HaKohanim, and the priest. Types of Moshiach, types of Christos, types of Christ, and the Mitmanan, the Amanyoch, and the believers of the church age. And take thou to thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children, the sons of Yisrael, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. Aharon, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar, Aaron's sons. Wa'ata ha'kereva leka et Aharon achika ve'et banayu ito. Mitok, Bnei Yisrael, Le Kahino Li, Aharon Nadav, Wa Avihu, El Azar, We Itamar, Bnei Aharon. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. We asita bigde kodesh le Aharon achika le kavod ulatif aret. And I shall speak to all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me, to I in the priest's office. Wa'ata ti davera illa kola hakame leiv ashera mia letioa ruach hakma we osueta vigdeya herona le kadisho le kahinoli and thou I shall speak wa'ata ti davera. And vows I shall speak wata to davir il kola hakmele to all that are wise hearted il kola hakmele whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom ashara miletio ruach hakma kama that they make Aaron's garments to sanctify him, to set him apart. We also that he may minister to me, to I, in the priest's office. The kahuna, the priesthood. Second item, the garments of the Kohen Gadol of the high priest. Verse 4. And these are the garments that thou shalt make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister to me, to I, in the priest's office. With Eile ha de gadim asher ya'isu choshen with ephod ma'ila ua ketonet tashavet mitzanefet with avnet with asu digdeya kodesh le aharon achika ulabanayo le kahino li. And these are the garments. Wele habigadim. Wele habigadim. And these are the garments. Ashera ya'isu. And these are the garments that they shall make. Wele habigadim. Ashera ya'isu. Choshen. The choshen. A breastplate. With a ford. And a effort. An effort. An effort. O me'il. Umil and a robe, or a ketonet and a tunic, uketoneta tashabet and a tunic of checker work, mitznefet a mitre with avnet and a girdle with asua bigdeya kodesh. Le Aharon achita, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother. With also the gdei kodesh le Aharon achita ule vanayo le kahino li, that they make holy garments, set apart garments for Aaron thy brother. Le Aharon achika, achika thy brother. Ulevanayo and his sons, that he may minister to me, to I, in the priest's office. Lekahino li. The materials. Verse 5. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Wehema yikohu eta ha zahav. Weeta ha tikaleta, weeta ha argamana, weeta tolaata ha shani, weeta ha shesh. The ephod, ha ephod, the effort. Verse 6. And they shall make the effort of gold, blue, and purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod that upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof. even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twine linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the Bnei Yisrael, and grave on them the Shemot of Bnei Yisrael, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. Shall thou engrave the two stones with the Shemot, with the names of the Bnei Yisrael? Thou shalt make them to be set in ochres of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, or stones of memorial to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons and children of Yisrael. And Aharon and Aaron shall bear their names, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And hear, Shema Yisrael, hear, for the Sheni. The Sheni Aliyah, here for the second Aliyah, for this Shabbat, it's our Sabbath, thou male shall command. Here picking up with the second book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Exodus chapter 28, here at verse 13, Chaburim, verse 13, for the Sheni Aliyah. Ve'asita misha b'ot azahav, and thou, the eye, shall make ochres of gold. Ve'asita misha b'ot zahav, and thou shall make settings of gold. Ve'asita misha b'ot zahav, and two chains of pure gold at the end. Wreathen work shall thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chain to the ochres. Ve'asita misha b'ot zahav, u'ashteya shara'sharot zahav ahora, mi'agbalot ta'iseh otam ma'iseya e'ot. With natataha hatta shara sharotaha evotota alaha misha b'ot, and two chains of pure gold of plaited thread shalt thou make them of recent work, and thou shalt put the recent chains on the settings. Ha Hoshen, the breastplate, verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twine linen shalt thou make it. Ve'asita choshena mishpot ma'iseya choshev ma'iseya efod ta esenu zahava tikeleta ve'argamana ve'tola'ata shani ve'sheisha mashazara ta'ise oto. Four square it shall be, being doubled. Ravua yihye ka full zereta arko with zereta rachbo. Four square it shall be double. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in its settings of stone, even four rows of stone. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond, and the third row a lingerie, an agate, and an amethyst, and the fourth row a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names, the Shemot of the Bnei Yisrael, of the sons of Yisrael, 12, according to their names. The engravings of a signet, everyone with his name, shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate HaHoshen chains at the ends, recent walk of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate HaHoshen two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of HaHoshen of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two recent chains of gold in the two rings, which are on the ends of HaHoshen, the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two recent chains thou shalt fasten in the two oches, the two settings, and put on the shoulder pieces of HaEphod, the ephod, before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of HaHoshen, the breastplate, in the border thereof, which in the side of HaEphod, the ephod, inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shall put them on the two sides of HaEphod, the ephod, underneath, toward the fore part thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of HaEphod, the ephod. And they shall bind HaHoshen, the breastplate, by the rings thereof, to the rings of HaEphod, with a lace of blue, that may be above the curious girdle of HaEphod, and that HaHoshen be not loose from HaEphod. And Aharon shall bear the names, the Shemot, of the Bnei Yisrael, of the sons, the children of Yisrael, in HaHoshen, in the Hoshen of Mishpot, the breastplate of judgment, upon his heart, when he goeth in to the holy, for a memorial. Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, continually, itinually, with Nasa Heron Eta Shemota Bnei Yisraela Bi Hoshen HaMishpota Ala Libo Bi Oa Ela HaKodesha Li Zikaron Lifnei Yehovah Tami The Urim and Tumim, the Urim and Tumim. Verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart, when he goeth in Lifneoa before Jehovah, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the Bnei Yisrael, of the children of Israel, upon his heart, Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, continually. ונתתה אלה חושן המשפוטה את האורים ואת התומים והיו על הלב אהרון דבואו לפני יהוה ונשא אהרון את המשפוטה בני ישראל על ליבו לפני יהוה
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohenu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
And hear, Shema Yisrael, hear, Gevil Yisrael, here for the Shalishi, here for the third Aliyah, the third reading, the third Aliyah, the third offering up here for this Shabbat, Shabbat, it's our Sabbath, thou shalt command. Sabbath Tetzaweh. Here, picking out with the second book of Moshe, Hebrew book that is called Exodus, Exodus chapter 28, here at verse 31, for the Shalishi Aliyah, for the third reading, third up offering here for this Shabbat Tetzaweh Sabbath, thou male shall command the robe of the ephod. Here, 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 from the Sefer Shemot, we are sita eta ma'ila ha efoda k'lila tikelet, and thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all blue. We are sita eta ma'ila ha efoda k'lila tikelet, and thou shalt make the robe, and thou shalt make the ma'il. We are sita eta ma'il, thou shalt make the robe, ha ephod of the ephod, kalila tikelet, kalila of, kalila tikelet, tikelet of blue. And there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergoin, that it be not rent. Wihaya fiya rosho del poko safa yihye le fioa saviva maise o rega kfiya tahra yihye loa loa yikara. And it shall have a hole for the head in the midst thereof. Wehaya fiya rosho betoko safa. It shall have a binding. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it. Yehiye safa safa yehiye litsiyo saviv maise yorega kfiya tachera. Yihye loa loa yikara, as it were the whole of a coat of mail, that it be not rent, that it be not ripped. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aharon, upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in to the holy before Yahuwah, before Jehovah, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Wahaya Allah Aharon le sharet with nishma ak olo abo ilah kodesh lifne yehowa uavet etoa with lo yamut. And it shall be upon Aharon, upon Aaron to minister. Wehaya al Aharon le sharet, and it shall be upon Aaron le sharet to minister. Wehaya al Aharon le sharet we nishma ak olo bevo ilah kodesh lifne yehowa. And the sound thereof shall be heard, and the sound thereof shall be heard with nishma'a kolo, when he goeth in bivo il hakodesh, when he goeth into hakodesh, into the holy, bivo il hakodesh lifnei Yehovah, before Jehovah, and when he cometh out uvetzeto, and when he cometh out uvetzeto with lo yamut, that he die not. The holy crown, the isle, the set apart crown, the holy crown. Compare Exodus chapter 29 verse 6. The holy crown here, 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 Shema, Exodus 28 verse 36. And thou, the eye, shall make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it the engravings of a signet, holiness to Jehovah. With Osita, Ish, Zahar, Ahor, Uafia Tachita, Alayo, Pia Tucheya, Chotam, Kodesh La Yahua, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold. With Osita, Tzitza, Zahav, Ahor, and grave upon it. And grave upon it. Ua tia tachita alayo, like the engravings of a signet. Pia tuche chotam, holiness la Yahuwah, holiness, idleness to Jehovah. Kodesh la Yahuwah, Kodesh la Yahuwah. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead. And Aaron, that Aaron may bear, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. The Bnei Yisrael, the children, the sons of Yisrael shall hallow in all their holy set apart gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted, lifnei hoa, before Jehovah. Wehaya Allah meyatzach Aharon, with nasa Aharon et Aharon HaKodashim asher yakadishu bnei Yisrael kol matnot kadeshehem v'haya ala nitzocho tamid l'ratzon lahem lifnei hoa, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead v'haya al meitzach Wahaya al meitzach Aharon, and it shall be upon Aaron's meitzach, upon Aaron's forehead. Wahaya al meitzach Aharon, where nasa Aharon et Aharon ha kodashim, and Aaron shall bear the elvon, the avon, the iniquity committed in the holy things, in the holy things. With nasa Aharon et Aharon HaKodashim asher yakadishu bnei Yisrael, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity committed in the holy things, that the bnei Yisrael, that the children of Israel shall hallow, shall set apart, shall make holy. With nasa Aharon et Aharon, with nasa Aharon et Aharon HaKodashim asher yakadishu bnei Yisrael lekol matnot kadishehem, even in all their holy, their set apart gifts, lekol matnot kadishehem, with haya ala mitzocho tamid, and it shall be always upon his forehead. Wehaya ala mitzocho tamid li'ratzon lahem lifnei Yehovah, that they may be accepted, li'ratzon lahem, that accepted for them, that they may be accepted, lifnei Yehovah, before Jehovah. The ordinary garments of the Kohen Gadol and Kohanim, the ordinary garments of the high priest and the priest, over which the garments for glory and beauty were put on. Verse 39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre, the turban, of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aharon's sons, for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. Lekavod ulatifaret, for glory, lekavod ulatifaret, and for tifaret, and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and fill their hands, and sanctify them, and set them apart, that they may minister to me, to I, in the priest's office. With Hila Bashita or Tama Eta Hirona Hika, we Eta Banayo Waito, Ua Ma Shachita, Uma Shachita or Tam, Ua Mia Leta Eta Yadam, we Kedashita or Tam, we Kahenu Li, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, shall dress them with Hila Bashta Otam, shall dress them Eta Aherona Hika, and thou shalt put them, dress them upon Aaron thy brother. We Hila Bashta Otam Eta Aherona Hika, we Eta Banayo Waito, and upon his sons, Banayo Ito, with him. O ma shachita otam, and thou shalt anoint them, Messiah them. O ma shachita otam, O mileta eta yadam, and consecrate them and fill their hands. O mileta et yadam, and filling the hands, their hands. O mileta, and filling et yadam, and filling their hands, or consecrate them. Wik idashta otam, and sanctify them, and setting them apart, and idolifying them. We kiyadashta otam, we kiyahenu li, we kihenu li, that they may minister to me, to I, in the priest's office. We kihenu li, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, their nakedness. From the loins even to the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon Benaiah, his sons, when they come in to the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near to the altar to minister in the holy, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his seed, and his seed after him, and his seed after him. Wehayu wa Allah Hirona wa Allah Banayo wa Bi Bo Ama Illa or Hella Moed or Le Gishatama Illaha Mizbeyah Le Shareita Ba Kodesh Willowa Yisua Avon Wa metu hukato olam alau ule zaro achrayo, and they shall be upon Aaron wahayu al Aharon, and upon his sons wa al banayu, when they go bi boam elo hela moed, when they go into the tent of meeting to the ohel moed, or the gishtav gishtam elo hamizbeach, or when they come near to the altar, or the gishtam elo hamizbeach lishareita bakodesh, or when they come near to the mizbeach lishareita, to minister bakodesh in the holy. Willo yisu aon, that they bear not iniquity. Willo yisu avon, that they bear not avon aon, that they bear not aon iniquity. Willo yisu aon, wa metu and die, wa metu and die. Chukato olam, it shall be a statute, chukat, for either to him, chukata olam lau, and to his seed, ula zaro achrayo, and to his seed after him. Wahayu Allah rona va Allah banayo wa bevo amayla wa hella moed, or Vigishtama illaham zveyacha lisha reita va kodesh. Ulo yisu avona vanetu. Chukato lama lawu. Ula zar o achrayo.
Achrayo, 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 achrayo.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad.
And here, 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 Shema Yisrael, here, here, here for the Revi'i, here for the Revi'i, here for the fourth Aliyah, the fourth reading, the fourth uprising, here for this Shabbat, Shabbat is our Sabbath, thou now shall command. Here, picking up with the second book of Moshe, the Hebrew book, that is called Exodus. Here, Exodus chapter 29, verse 1, for the Revi'i, the Revi'i, the fourth reading, fourth up offering here for this Shabbat, Tetzaweh, Sabbath, thou, male, shall command, shall command, shall. Hakohuna, the priesthood, the third item, the consecration of Hakohanim, the filling of the hailing 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 of the hailing. And here, 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 Shema Yisrael, here, here, here for the Revi'i, here for the Revi'i, here for the fourth Aliyah, the fourth reading, the fourth uprising, here for this Shabbat, Shabbat is our Sabbath, thou, male, shall command. Here, picking up with the second book of Moshe, the Hebrew book, that is called Exodus. Here, Exodus chapter 29, verse 1, for the Revi'i. The Revi'i, the fourth reading, fourth up offering here for this Shabbat, Tetzaweh, Sabbath, thou, male, shall command. Hakohuna, the priesthood, the third item, the consecration of Hakohanim, the filling of the hands, consecration, the filling of the hands of Hakohanim, of the priest, the offering. With the Hadavara Asher Ta'iser Lahem, Lik Adeshotam, Lik Kahen Lia, Lik Achapara Echada, Denna Bakara, We Elima Shinaima Titmi. And this is the thing, and this the thing that thou shalt do to them, to hallow them, to set them apart, to eilify them, to minister to me, to I in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. Vizeh ha-davar, and this is the thing. Vizeh ha-davar, and this. Vizeh, and this. Ha-davar, and this the thing. Asher ta'iser lahem, that thou shalt do lahem to them alikadesh. Likadesh, to set them apart. Likadesh otam, to set them apart, li kahen li, to minister to I in the priest's office, li kahen li, li achpar echada ben abakar, take one young bullock, li achpar echad ben abakar, with halim ashnaim, titmim, and two lambs. We're Aileen, Shanaim, and two Aileen, Waileen, and Shanaim, to me, without blemish. And unleavened bread, and cakes, unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams, and Aharon and Aaron and his sons. Thou shalt bring to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou and shalt wash them with water.
Water, 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 water,
water. Petach, petach ohel ha-mo'ed. The door, the door, the door of the tent of meeting. Ve'et Aharon ve'et b'nayo patri illa petach ohel ha-mo'ed with rachat petach otam ba'mayim and Aaron and his sons. Thou the eye shall bring to the door the petach, the door of the tent of meeting, the ohel ha-mo'ed with rachat ta otam, and wash the eye, wash them ba'mayim with water. The order for the Kohen Gadol, the order for the high priest. Verse 5. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre, the turban, upon Rosho, his ras, his head, his rosh, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour upon Rosho, his rosh, his ras, his head, and anoint him. Wilakachta etahabidadim, and thou shalt take the garment. Wilakachta etahabidadim, where he labashta etaheron, and put and dress them upon Aaron. Etaha kutonet, the tunic, where eta me'il ha ephod, and the robe of the ephod, where etaha ephod, and the ephod, where etaha choshen, and the choshen, the breastplate, where afadta, where afadta lo'u, and gird him with afadta lau, and gird him be chesheva ha ephod, with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. Vesamta ha mitra nefeta ala rosho, and thou shalt set the mitre, the turban, upon rosho, his rosh, his ras, his head. We samta ha mitra nefeta ala rosho, we natata eta nezer ha kodesha ala ha mitra nefeta, and put the holy crown, and put the holy crown with natata eta nezer, et nezer, the nezer, the nezer, nazar, the nezer, with natata eta nezer ha kadesh Allah ha mitzenefet, and put the holy crown upon the mitre, upon the turban. With lakachta eta shemenaha mishacha, then shalt thou take the anointing oil. With lakachta, with lakachta, and the eye male take eta shemena ha-mishcha, ha-mishcha, the oil of anointing, the shemena ha-mishcha, taking the anointing oil. With yazakta, the yazakta, and pour. With yazakta al rosho, and pour upon rosho. With yazakta al rosho, ua mashachta oto, and anoint him. U-ma-shach-ta oto, and christen, anoint, price him, anoint him. The order of HaKohanim, the order of the priests. Verse 8. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them, And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aharon, Ubanayo, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons, and thou shalt fill the hands, and thou shalt fill the hands of Aaron and his sons. And thou shalt bring his sons and put the kutonet, put the tunics upon them. And thou shalt gird them, and thou shalt gird them with girdles. With Chagarta Otam Avnei, Aaron and his sons, Aharon Ubanayo. And bind head ties on them. With Chavashta Lahem Mi Gabaot, and bind head ties on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. With Haita Lahem, and it shall be for them with Haita Lahem Kahuna, the priesthood, Lichukata Olam, by a statute forever, Lichukata Olam. And thou shalt consecrate, fill their hands, U Mileta Yad, and filling Yad, and filling the hands of Aharon with Yad Banayo. And thou shalt fill the hand of Aharon and his sons. U Mileta Yad Aharon, Yad Banayo, and filling the sons, consecrating, and filling the sons. The order for the sacrifices. Verse 10. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the Ohel HaMoed, the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the rosh, the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock lifnei Yahuwah before Jehovah by the petach, the door of the Ohel HaMoed, the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put upon the horns of HaMizbeach, the altar, with thy finger, and pour all Hadam, the blood, beside the bottom of HaMizbeach, the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul, that is, above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that upon them, and bun upon HaMizbeach, and bun them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin, and his dung, shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a chata'at, a sin offering. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aharon and Aaron, Ubanayo and his sons, shall put their hand upon the rosh, upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take damo, his blood, and sprinkle round about upon HaMizbeach, upon the altar. And thou and the eyes shall cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put him to his pieces and to Rosho and to his head. And thou shall burn the whole ram upon HaMizbeach, the Mizbeach, the altar. It a burnt offering la Yahuwah to Jehovah. It a sweet savor, an offering made by fire to Jehovah. Where he katarta et kol ha ayil ha mizbeach ola hu la Yahuwah reyach michoach ishe la Yahuwah hu and thou shalt make the whole ram smoke, smoke upon the altar. Vehikatarta, 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 according to smoke, etokolaha, ayil, ha, nizabeyaha, olahu. It is a burnt offering. He is a burnt offering. Olahu, la yahwa, olahu, la yahwa, reyaha, nehoha, ishe, la yahwa, hu. It is a sweet savor. Reyach, reyach, nichoach, reyach nichoach. Ishe, ishe, an offering. Ishe, la yahwa, hu. An offering, a fire offering. Ishe, la yahwa, hu. A fire offering, an offering made by fire to Jehovah.
You see, that's a, you think, oh, how primitive, you know, how primitive these people were sacrificing to their God. It's like, you know, those people weren't stupid. And this is not primitive. Whatever it is, it's not primitive. It's sophisticated beyond belief, because the idea, as I already pointed out, is that you could sacrifice something of value and that that would have transcendent utility. And that is by no means an unsophisticated idea. In fact, it might be the greatest idea that human beings ever came up with. It's an answer to the problem that's put forward in the story of Adam and Eve, right? Because we became self-conscious, and then we discovered the future, and then we knew we were going to die, and then we knew we were vulnerable, and then we became ashamed, and then we developed the knowledge of good and evil, and then we got thrown out of paradise. It's like, that's a big problem. So what the hell are you going to do about it? Well, sacrifice. That's the hypothesis. Well, that's a hell of a hypothesis, man. That's what we're doing. You made plenty of sacrifices, even to sit in this theater, and many people made plenty of sacrifices to have a theater like this exist, and many people made sacrifices so that we could actually freely engage in the dialogue that we're engaging in a theater like this. And so it's like all of this is built on sacrifice, and sacrifice bloody well better work, because we do not have a better idea.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Selah.
Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, a good seven, good strong. Good sabbatically speaking, yes I, shalom chavarim, shalom. Give thanks.
Baruch Anta Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam.
Shavua Tov, referring to the week, or more correctly, like the seven days.
Blessed be his Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie, Jah Rastafari, who liveth and reigneth with I and I continually ever faithful, ever sure. Jah Rastafari, with no apology. And this is the Rastaman Vibration. Yeah.
Rasta is something from the heart.
And stay tuned, Chabarim, Shabu Tov. Have a good, strong, good 7 days to come. First day service, right now. Yes, I tune in if I can, or catch the rebroadcast. Shalom, Chabarim. Shalom, Hashem Yeshua.